RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news, commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. 10 Nai professionalism and world peacekeeping recognized by the world. Indonesia will develop geothermal energy. Foreign minister makes a lot of achievement in his 17th anniversary. Now the news in detail. The capability of the Indonesian armed forces is recognized by many countries in the region, even by the USA. Every year, in the joint military trainings for peacekeeping, the Indonesian personnel are always involved as instructors. The leader of Indonesian contingent in the joint military exercise of the Global Peace Operation Initiative, GPOI, capstone of 2015 in Malaysia, Lieutenant Colonel Marins Burhanuddin, said that among the ASEAN countries, Indonesia sent the most troops for the UN peacekeeping forces.
Profesionalisme dalam bidang peacekeeping operation kita sangat bisa dikatakan.
We could say that Indonesia ranks in the top level of the professionalism in peacekeeping operation. Last year we held professionalism training in peacekeeping because it is in line with the government program for 2016 to send up to 4,000 peacekeepers. Meanwhile, Australia, as a developed country, never sent troops except military observers. Among the ASEAN countries, Indonesia sent the highest number of troops. In other regions, there are India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh. 47 Indonesian soldiers participated in a joint exercise of peacekeeping operation together with the U.S. Global Peace Operation Initiative, GPOI. 36 Pacific countries and many other countries, which was held in Malaysia under the name Latihan Kris Aman 15. Indonesian President Joko Widodo is committed to accelerating the development of geothermal energy. In the opening ceremony of the Port Indonesian EBTKE Connex 2015 in Jakarta, President Joko Widodo said that Indonesia still depends on fossil energy. He explained that Indonesia should keep depending on fossil energy, but it should switch to renewable energy. Today, the use of fossil energy is still very large. The data given to me from the minister showed that the use of fossil energy is 95% for national consumption. Therefore, in the future, we want to give serious attention to renewable energy. Therefore, the problems associated with incentive issues related to rates, issues related to licensing, matters relating to new and renewable energy, we will give special attention. President Joko Widodo added that Indonesia has more than 29,000 megawatt geothermal energy. If needed, the government will build state-owned enterprises for geothermal energy. The state-owned enterprises are expected to make Indonesia be able to immediately switch to renewable energy. Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs has made a lot of achievements since its establishment in August 19, 1945, including the recognition of the Indonesian independence by all member countries of the United Nations and the world recognition of Indonesia as an archipelago country. That was stated by Indonesian spokesperson of Foreign Affairs Ministry Armanata Kristiawan Nasir on the sidelines of the 70th anniversary of Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Wednesday.
Dan anggota PBB mengakui kemerdekaan Republik Indonesia dan NKRI.
The UN member state recognized the independence of the United States of Republic of Indonesia. It is a reality that can be felt by Indonesian people. It is one of the struggle of the Foreign Affairs Minister since 1945, August 1945. That's the most obvious. Secondly, if we want to find out again the recognition of Indonesia as the archipelagic country where our water is recognized as part of the country, it is the most noticeable recognition. Furthermore, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir said, despite a lot of achievement that has been made by the Minister of Foreign Affairs, there is still a lot of homework. According to Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, one example of the homework is to contribute to people's prosperity and to develop Indonesian nation. Meanwhile, related to the program of the Minister of Foreign Affairs under President Joko Widodo's leadership, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir emphasized that there are four priorities, namely the protection of Indonesian citizens and legal entities of Indonesia abroad, border diplomacy to ensure the integrity of the unitary state of Republic of Indonesia, economic diplomacy and the Indonesian active role in the region and global level as it has been mandated by the Indonesian Constitution 1945. The weakening of rupiah against the US dollar has not been able to improve the Indonesian export performance in July 2015. It was summed by the weakening export performance in July 2015. Total export in July declined by 15.5% compared to the previous month and declined by 19.2% when compared to the same period last year. It was stated by the Indonesian Trade Minister Thomas Lembon in Jakarta on Wednesday.
Yang akan menyolong adalah memang neraca dagang kita lebih tertolong dari kolapsnya import.
Indeed, our trade balance was helped by import, while export performance has not improved yet. It is a result of the global condition in which the destination countries of our exports are still sluggish. So not from all countries, the demand of goods and service export are weakening.
Bukan cuma Indonesia, tapi semua negara mengalami kelemahan permintaan terhadap barang dan jasa ekspor.
Thomas further said that from the non-oil export performance in July 2015, it was recorded $1.4 billion, declined by 1.3% compared to the previous month. Compared to the same period last year, oil and gas export declined 43%. Indonesian non-oil export declined as the worst to Australia, the Netherlands, and Singapore. The Meteorology, Climatology, and Geophysics Agency BNKG at Pekanbaru Station detects 720 fire hotspots in 9 provinces in Sumatra Island on Tuesday morning. Head of the Pekanbaru BNKG station, Sugarin, explained that haze began to envelop the city of Pekanbaru and Pelalawan. Regional Disaster Management Agency BPBD in Riau province said that the haze that blanketed Pekanbaru and surrounding originated from neighboring provinces. Head of Riau BPBD, Edward Sanger, said that the smoke that blanketed Pekanbaru and some areas was not from forests and land fires in Riau, but it traveled from Jambi and South Sumatra. He added that the wind brought the smoke from forests and land fires in the two provinces to Riau. The last item. Thick smoke filling the air in Jambi province in Sumatra prevented a plane carrying Religious Affairs Minister Lukman Hakim Saifuddin from landing at Sultan Taha Saifuddin Airport in Jambi on Thursday. The plane was redirected to land at Hanadin Airport on Batan Island, Riau Island Province. Jambi Provincial Administration spokesman Junaidi said, as quoted by Antara, that the Garuda Indonesia plane taking Minister Lukman Harun, as you say, Minister Lukman Saifuddin, failed to land at the airport. Other planes also could not land because the pigeon was reportedly fewer than 1,200 meters. Head of the Jambi Disaster Management Agency, Arif Munandar, said firefighters found it difficult to extinguish the fire as the forest fire spread rapidly. He said that the fighting had also involved military officers and other volunteers, but water bombing from the air would be helpful. He called on local governments to send letters of recommendation to the governors so that the provincial administration could immediately ask the National Disaster Management Agency, BNPB, to take part in the forest fire fighting. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Well, listener, our commentary today entitled Culture as a State Asset and Identity of the Nation. Indonesia is known as a rich country in culture and arts that spread from Sabah to Merauke. However, Indonesian people often do not care for such property. Indonesian people, especially the younger generation, sometimes prefer more foreign culture to their own culture. They are just surprised and angry if some of their culture is recognized as belonging to another nation. State, in this case, the government, has made various efforts to preserve the culture of Indonesia by making cultural heritage and by promoting Indonesian arts to international fora through exhibition and cultural missions. From a legal standpoint, the preservation of culture is also done by enacting a regional regulation. As found by the Regional Representative Council, DPRD of Jakarta, it approved regional regulation or PERDA about Betawi cultural preservation on Tuesday. This regional regulation rules the way how to develop and to preserve Betawi culture and increase public awareness of Jakartans on the culture of Betawi. Besides aiming to preserve Betawi culture, the enactment of the law also aims to develop tourism. Betawi culture is considered as a basic capital or a very important and strategic asset to develop the tourism prospects of Jakarta. Based on abundance of a diverse culture, Indonesia can increase its tourism sector. In turn, this will increase foreign exchange. The increase of foreign exchange will boost state revenues from non-oil sector, which can be utilized for national development. Preserving and developing national culture are the tasks of not only the government, but also all stakeholders. The regulation on the preservation of some regions, made by the executive and the legislative, is not enough to preserve the national culture without any public participation. Indonesian nation must not lose and forget its identity because of neglecting its culture. The younger generation of Indonesia must recognize their own culture. Hopefully, Indonesian culture can be a host in its own country. Listener, that was commentary today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, it's nice to be with you again with me, Mana Rahmana, in regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start from an event on August 20, 1977, when Voyager 2 was launched by NASA. Voyager 2 was a 1,722 kilogram space probe launched by NASA on August 20, 1977, to study the outer solar system and eventually interstellar space. It was actually launched before Voyager 1, but Voyager 2 was sent on a different trajectory and arrived at Jupiter and Saturn after Voyager 1. Voyager 2 has been operating for 37 years, 11 months and 29 days as of 18th of August 2015, and the Deep Space Network is still receiving its data transmissions. The next event was in 1988 when the Iran-Iraq War ended. The Iran-Iraq War was an armed conflict between the Islamic Republic of Iran and Republic of Iraq, lasting from September 1980 to August 1988, making it the 20th century longest conventional war. It was initially referred to in English as the Gulf War, prior to the Persian Gulf War of the early 1990s. The Iran-Iraq War began when Iraq invaded Iran via air and land on 22nd of September 1980. It follows a long history of border disputes and was motivated by fears that the Iranian Revolution in 1979 would inspire insurgency among Iraq's long-suppressed Shia majority, as well as Iraq's desire to replace Iran as dominant Persian Gulf state. Although Iraq hoped to take advantage of Iran's revolutionary chaos and attack without formal warning, it made only limited progress into Iran and was quickly repelled. Iran regained virtually all lost territory by June 1982. For the next 6 years, Iran was on the offensive. A number of proxy forces participated in the war, most notably the Iranian Mujahideen, Iqalab, siding with Ba'athist Iraq and Iraqi Kurdish militias of Kurdistan, Democratic Party and Patriotic Union of Kurdistan, siding with Iran, all suffering major blow by the end of the conflict. Despite calls for a ceasefire by the United Nations Security Council, hostilities continued until 20 August 1988. Finally, the war ended with Resolution 598, a UN broker ceasefire which was accepted by both sides. And the last event was in 1993 when the Oslo I Accord was signed. The Oslo I Accord, or officially called the Declaration of Principles on Interim Self-Government Arrangement, or short Declaration of Principles DOP, was an attempt in 1993 to set up a framework that would lead to resolution of ongoing Israeli-Palestinian conflict. It was the first face-to-face agreement between the government of Israel and the Palestine Liberation Organization, PLO. Negotiations concerning the agreement, an outgrowth of Madrid Conference of 1991, were conducted secretly in Oslo, Norway, hosted by the Fetho Institute, and completed in 20th of August 1993. The Oslo Accord were subsequently officially signed at the public ceremony in Washington, D.C., on 30 September 1993, in the presence of former PLO chairman Yasser Arafat and the then former Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin and former U.S. President Bill Clinton. The documents themselves were signed by Mahmoud Abbas for the PLO, Foreign Minister Shimon Peres for Israel, U.S. Secretary of State Warren Christopher for the United States, and Foreign Minister Andrei Kozyrev for Russia. Listener, that was Today in History. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, for listening. For today's Indonesia. That all state in general
had been.
In the face of market that all had been and conduct. The moons. Meanwhile, in the face of that old there is it technology. In the face of said the Minister of Maritime particularly the CMS products and in the face of said South Maritime based on thin the distribution people and in the face of South main based on based on process fresh. In addition, therefore, listening. Here, news in brief, read by Rahmana. The capability of the Indonesian Armed Forces is recognized by many countries in the region, even by the USA. Every year, the joint military trainings for peacekeeping, the Indonesian personnel are always involved as instructors. Indonesian President Joko Widodo is committed to accelerating the development of geothermal energy. In the opening ceremony of the 4th Indonesian EBTKA Connects 2015 in Jakarta, President Joko Widodo said that Indonesia still depends on fossil energy. He explained that Indonesia should not keep dependent on fossil energy, but it should switch to renewable energy. Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs has made a lot of achievements since its establishment on August 19, 1945, including the recognition of Indonesian independence by all member countries of the United Nations and the world recognition of Indonesia as an archipelagic country. The weakening of rupiah against the US dollar has not been able to improve the Indonesian export performance in July 2015. It was sunk by the weakening export performance in July 2015. Total export in July declined by 15.5% compared to the previous month and declined by 19.2% when compared to the same period last year. The Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency BNKG at Pekanbaru Station detects 720 fire hotspots in 9 provinces in Sumatra Island on Tuesday morning. takes more to fill in the air in Jambi province in Sumatra prevented a plane carrying Religious Affairs Minister Lukman Hakim Saifuddin from landing at Sultan Taha Saifuddin Airport in Jambi on Thursday. The plane was redirected to land at Hanadin Airport at Batan Island, Riau province. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Thank you for still listening to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listeners, now here are our next programs, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, I invite you to travel to Malang, East Java province. So stay tuned.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, directly adjacent to the Indian Ocean in the south, Malang, in East Java province, is awarded a row of beautiful beach. The beach is located to the south of Malang. In addition to offering natural beauty, the beaches on the south coast of Malang is also provided a thrill of adventure. For those of you who want to enjoy the beauty of the beach while experiencing the adventure in the form of natural trekking, you can visit the Three Colors Beach. Although it is not as famous as other beaches in Malang, this beach is unique because the sea has three colors. Three Colors Beach area is in mangrove rehabilitation and conservation, coral reef and protected forest, Tambak Rejo village, Malang, East Java province. It is located approximately 150 kilometers from the city of Malang. To reach the Three Colors Beach, you can simply follow the route to the Blue Spring Beach. Arrived at the junction leading to the Blue Spring Beach, there are directions to the Cilongok Beach. To get to the Three Colors Beach, you must pass Cilongok Beach. You are advised to use two-wheeled vehicles because the difficult terrain. Before entering Cilongok Beach, you should provide information on the checkpoints that are provided by the residents. This information is related to the information on the number of the group, the number of bottles of liquor, the amount of food, and the amount of plastic bags that visitors carried. Taking note on the luggage is done so that the visitors do not leave their garbage in the tourist locations and beach that remain unexploited. In this post, you must pay a fee of 6,000 rupees per person for admission. You also need to hire the services of a tour guide for security at a cost of 75,000 rupees for each group consisting of 10 people. Tour guide will offer you trekking with a short trek or long trek. Short path is direct, path moving towards Three Colors Beach traverse approximately less than 2 kilometers from the post. Medium length path past the Cilungup and Gatra Beach. The three-color beach is surrounded by coral as the boundary, so the scenery is very beautiful. The sea has three colors, namely dark blue, light blue, and light green. This color difference is because of the depth of the sea. Light blue means deeper sea. The beauty of the underwater three-color beach is also very interesting. You can see the beautiful coral reef and its fish with a snorkel. You can rent snorkeling equipment, which consists of swimming goggles, light bulb, and the hose as at the coastline. And the hose at a cost of approximately 15,000 rupees per person. In addition, the waves on the beach is very quiet because of the big waves directly from the Indian Ocean deterred by Sempu Island. Therefore, you can swim as much on this beach. Meanwhile, on the left, there is rock climbing you can climb. There, in the favorite spot, you can take pictures and jump up a cliff to the beach. Listener, in the Three Colors Beach, there is no restaurant. You have to bring your own food. The inn also not available. But for those who want to enjoy the natural scenery of this coastal region, you can camp on the Gatra Beach, which is located adjacent to the Three Colors Beach. No need to bring a tent. Here you can rent a tent at a price of 25,000 rupees per tent, and you will get one mat. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Three Colors Beach. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa and bye-bye.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we present you the day of Palapa satellite launching. Palapa is the name for some Indonesian geostationary telecommunication satellites. The name is taken from Palapa Pledge, which was initiated by Patih Gajah Mada from Majapahit Kingdom in 1334. Throughout the history, 13 Indonesian satellites have been launched. Palapa satellite is a project of the Indonesian government that wanted to get engaged in communication world. This project was run by the government regarding the importance of communication spreading as Indonesia's territory is mostly archipelago. It is the awareness of that encouraged the new order government to have its own satellites to spread information as widely as possible. Palapa Satellite used a quite advanced technology at that time. Overall, this satellite uses technology which was also used for Anik and Westar satellites owned by Canada and the United States. Launching rocket that was used, namely Delta 2914, was also rocket for the two satellites. The project of Palapa satellite did not take a long time. It was even the fastest record noted in the history of Boeing owned satellites making. Imagine that Boeing only had 17 months since the order was made in early February 1975. The design of Palapa satellite Generation A was specially made by Hughes to reach all of Indonesian regions. Besides, the signal strength emitted by the satellite can reach some neighboring countries such as Malaysia, the Philippines, Singapore, and Thailand. Palapa satellite Generation A looks simple indeed. If we see at a glance, this satellite is like an oil drum with a disc on it. It is different from the current satellites. Nevertheless, Palapa Satellite A is an extraordinary milestone in technological observer Nino Laksono stated that because of Palapa Satellite A, Indonesia is known as the third country to have domestic transmitting satellite after Canada and the United States. It beat China and India, which had not thought about having domestic satellite. Indonesia itself hasn't celebrated or commemorated this Palapa satellite launching day. Even some Indonesian people do not know that July the 9th is the launching day of Palapa satellite. But now, Indonesian people should be proud of having some satellites in outer space. In 2006, the first satellite made by Indonesia in Nasad 1 was launched. This satellite is a sense of methodology satellite to capture artificial weather of the National Aeronautics and Space Agency, LAPAN. Inasat 1 uses small electronic component with a weight of about 10 to 15 kilograms. The satellite is designed to collect data which are closely related to environment and household data to learn the dynamic of movement and satellite system performance. LAPAN did not stop there. In cooperation with Berlin Engineering University, LAPAN made LAPAN TOPSAT satellite. This is the first microsatellite in Indonesia. So, for you smartphone users, you should know that satellite is your main capital to communicate through the cutting-edge device named cell phone. Listener, that ends today's miscellany on Palapa Satellite Launching Day. I'm Hernita. Thank you for listening.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome to Music Corner.
a special program which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, I introduce you to two music groups, namely Quinzela and Glam Hour. First, I introduce you to Quinzela Group. The increasing competition in the music industry in the country does not dampen the Quinzela Group band to keep plunging into the music world in Indonesia. With the concept of romantic pop music, they are ready to compete with famous musicians. Well, listener, let's listen to a song entitled Apa Yang Salah or What Is Wrong by Quinzela. Here is the song.
Semoga engkau bahagia.
listener, Quinzela Band, which was established since October 7, 2007, started their activity in the music industry with their achievements as a regional finalist A Male Wanted Jakarta through a single entitled Babe. Quinzela Band consists of Okta, vocalist, Andrew, guitarist, Aji, bassist, Robbie, keyboardist, and Roy, drummer. Also want to display a unique concept which is impressed on the stage. Their single, Babe, is unique from its lyrics and simple arrangements. According to Aji, the bassist, he was optimistic about the results of their work that will be able to provide the latest musical color in the Indonesian music industry. Well, listener, now let's listen to the next song entitled Babe by Quinzela Band. Happy listening.
You today, oh babe, aku kangen kamu. Sudah satu bulan ku menunggu kabarmu, oh oh now. Mungkinkah kau sudah melupakan aku?
Listener, now I present you another group, Glam Hour. Although now the personnel are only two, but Glam Hour continues working. A single, Aku, was finally released under the banner of RMV Record. Is Rifai, a vocalist and Onko guitarist are still continuing, especially carrying soul music. And Glam Hour that was formed in 2008 and has produced a song about 40s. According to Refi, previously Glam Hour band consisted of some personnel, but now it is only himself and Onko who have the same view, who defend the band, and they both finally decided to use the name Glam Hour. Well, listener, to conclude our musical program for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Aku or Me by Glamour. Have listening and sampai jumpa. Bye-bye.
Ku ingin engkau jangan jauh dari aku, dekat saja kepadaku, jangan pernah jauh-jauh.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.